All right, final segment of the show tonight here is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll handle your case. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. So if you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, it's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. He is the former coach of the Houston Dash, took over Gotham FC this year, led them to the NWSL title with a 2-1 win over OL Reign. He's Juan Carlos Amoros. He joins us now. Juan, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Glenn.
Well, we wanted to recap what was a pretty remarkable season. What a turnaround for Gotham FC. And I know it's a season, like most clubs, of ups and downs and then timing things right. Just kind of take us into the year in your words.
Well, definitely a very interesting ride, no? Taking the challenge of moving the team that was bottom. At the beginning, it was to change the culture, to change the style. I brought the staff, we brought players, but it was mainly how to change the club from the inside and step by step. And with a lot of work, we started doing that from pre-season. Season started really well for us. There was, as you said, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but in this league, it's so competitive. You just need to make it to the playoffs. We did really well in the cup as well. And once we got to the playoffs, even if we didn't finish the season with the results we wanted, with the games we were playing at really high level, and we knew we had the toughest run going away to North Carolina. If we win that one, we won that one, and we went to Portland, which was the champions in the home turf in front of 25,000 people. We also won that one, and in the final, I think the team again showed the commitment, the ability, the belief in a game plan, in a style. And I'm very happy because it's obviously come up with the championship, but already we were recognized for our style and our football. So the fact that we were able to change from bottom to top is amazing. No, it's a dream come true.
Juan Carlos Amoros joining us. You heard him just say they beat North Carolina, Portland on the road, and then OL Reign in the final. Juan was a former coach at Real Betis, Tottenham Hotspur. So when you get into this environment, are there even some of the veteran players that need sort of a reboot and a refocus and need to be challenged in different ways? Because when you're a last place team, it's easy to kind of go down the Crimea River kind of thing. Did you have to challenge even some of the veterans here?
Well, I think the veterans here was one of the best surprises I had, no? Obviously, in the team, we already had Ali Krieger, Ali Long, Michel Betos, and they were really, really committed to the cause from day one. They really understood what was required and what we needed, and they really bought in from the beginning. Then obviously we signed people like Kelly O'Hara and like Kristen Edmonds. In the team, we also have McCall Cervoni. You know, we're talking about 7-8 players over 35-year-olds. That's always a challenge as a coach, no? Because they got all the experience that they've won, they've done everything. So, but I can only speak so highly of every single one of them. Obviously, Ali Krieger is probably the top of them because she was the captain of the team and the captain of the club, and she was amazing. But the rest of them from day one, we showed them what we wanted to do, and I think that got them involved from the start. They were really committed to winning and to do it in a clear structure and in a clear way. And for me, at the beginning, I thought it could be a challenge, and with time, I realized that they were the engine of what we did. So it's been incredible to work with every single one of them, and Ali's retirement and the way she did this year, it was something to probably write a book about.
Juan Carlos Amoros joining us, coach of Gotham FC, the NWSL champions. Did you get challenged by Lynn Williams or Ali Krieger, somebody? I mean, how much challenge did they give the coach? Because I know that's something you're not afraid of and you're not afraid to be involved with because it can lead to better things, right?
Absolutely. I think we created an environment where obviously Lynn is a person that is always trying to be better, and she's always having questions to make sure that she understands what is required from her and what is required to win and what is required for her to be better. So we have a very, very healthy relation there. But I think we created an environment where we obviously challenge the players, but the players challenge us. And when we say challenge, sometimes people might be afraid of. And I think challenge is a question, is how can they be better, how they need to do better with their teammate, with the unit, with the team. And I think that's what creates a better team and a better individual, no? The fact that we create an environment where people can speak, where people can express themselves and show what they fear and show what they doubt and at the same time what they believe, and we have to point them in the right direction and make them understand the whys we're asking them to do certain things. And once we are all in that same road, in that same direction, I think the players can highlight their individual qualities and their individual attributes. And that's what we've been able to do. Obviously, you know, Ling was our top goal scorer and she was on the best 11 in the league. The same with Ali Krieger, but we got Jenna, Rookie of the Year, and now going into the national team, no? And we got like Mitch Purse coming back to, we could say, coming back to life and being an MVP after a difficult season with injuries. You know, like every single player that we have in the roster this year, I think it's stepped up. Delaney Sheehan, Neely Martin, you know, players that, LEG, players that have played key roles for the team that maybe weren't in the, you know, in, I wouldn't say in the bed. So how do you say in America? But like maybe some of the biggest names, if you want to call it. But for us, it's not about the names. It's about the players. It's about the human. And they've all challenged ourselves, and they challenged themselves to be better. And that's what got us the championship, no?
Juan, when did you feel it changing? Because, you know, you obviously had momentum going into the playoffs. You got the last playoff spot, right? And there is something uplifting about grabbing that last playoff spot and saying, hey, we're here now. We got a shot at doing something special. But where did you really feel it began to turn? Was there a specific stage or game?
Well, I think that the moment where I think it came up in the video that we spoke, that we put together as a club, I think on August 19th, there was a very important game for us. I think we went to San Diego. We played really well. I think we should have scored goals. We didn't. We were 2-0 down. It was the 90th minute, but we had 3 injuries already in that game. And in the 90-something minute, the keeper Abby got injured. Neely Martin had to go and go. And the team kept pushing with 10 players. We put San Diego against the ropes. We scored a goal. I think it was in the 100th minute. And the players wanted to win. And that's that day I told them that that's the day I knew that we could go. We could go to the playoffs, we could go to the championship. So we actually recap on that moment the day before the final in the match day minus one. And we spoke about Neely going in goal and how the team, even with 10 players, showed that character on that day. We showed them some pictures there on the pitch. And I couldn't believe it when in the final in the minute 95, the keeper gets sent off and Neely Martin needs to go in goal again. And we actually win the championship. I still get goosebumps on my arms when I think about this. No, and in the minute, you know, and we won the championship with 10 players in San Diego with Neely Martin in the same goal that he was on that August 19th. So I think it was a full circle of the season, a full cycle of a very special story. So for me, that day is the day. Sometimes football is not fair. Sometimes you work really hard, you don't get a result. Sometimes you were not good and you get a result, but sometimes it's the feelings that you have as a coach. And I always felt that this group was special, but probably it was on that August 19th that I know, you know what, this team has something in them that might take them all the way to the championship, no?
Juan Carlos Amoros joining us. What a story that is. NWSL champions. Now, if you look at what's going on in Europe, and let's be completely upfront here, Barcelona, Manchester City, it's a bigger brand than the NWSL. I get the sense there are going to be players competitively now that in a bigger way, if it's already happening, that are going to want to go to play to Europe for a variety of reasons. Maybe because they feel they can expand their game differently based on the way the game's played over there. How big of a challenge is now the global perspective on the NWSL, and maybe what does the NWSL have to do to remain competitive? Because I know over here we quickly say, well, it's the best league in the world. That could be true. It doesn't mean you're not being challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we can't compete is with the history that those clubs have behind them. No? That's a fact. We can't create 100 years of history in 3 years. No, but what is better in America is the player experience, is the fan experience, is the competitiveness of the league, is the standards that everything around the league has compared to the local leagues in Europe. No? Yeah, the Champions League is good, but sometimes even in these group stages, you can see little stadiums that are not full. Here we got regular season games with 20,000 people on weekly basis. Like, so, and I said this to the European players that we signed here, listen, be ready, because here is every week is a Champions League semi-final in front of thousands and thousands of people, and that's the standard. And that day-to-day competition, I think players like Esther or Maitane are starting to feel it and to see it. And I really hope, and I think that if things keep going in the same way, there's going to be probably more players coming over this way than players probably going, American players going the opposite way. No, I think it's important that if we want to be the best league in the world, we have to have the best players. Those best players, some of them are from the US, some of them are international. We already have a lot of international talent here, and I think it's going to grow, but we can't relax. No, the league needs to push, the clubs need to push. Now with the salary cap increase, there is little things there that are going to help. I think the commitment from every club in this league to make it the best in the world, I think is a fair challenge and a fair, we have a fair shot to it. Maybe to make it, the challenge is now to make it more known internationally, this league, looking maybe at that, changing some of the time of the games because they're very late in Europe or something like that could help. But we will see. No, I think that the league is definitely on the rise.
Juan Carlos Aboros joining us. So, do you think players from the perspective of their individual careers might, I'm going to go play in a Barcelona or in the Premier League because I might be challenged or asked to do some things tactically differently, which could expand my game and make me a better player. Do you see any players kind of thinking like that?
It could be. No, it's difficult because every club have different approaches. That's exactly what we're trying to do here at Gotham. No, we're trying to be different in here. My assistant head coach Jesus does a really good job now, helping with all the shaping of the tactical side of things with our own methodology, what we call the organized chaos and the tactical order to create something special here that brings the attention not only from the fans or from the people around the game, but also from the players to feel like, wait, you know what, Gotham does something different. I want to be there. You know, I want to be part of that. I think we've shown that this year, players' development, style of play, and I think that really helped, and that really is creating something where people is looking from the outside. We always talk with the players about we open the window on game day and we let people see what we do every day at training, because that's how it is. And I think step by step we've achieved that. We obviously got a lot of recognition, the championship in the end, which is unbelievable. But we want to keep going. No, we want to make sure that we are not done yet. That's one of the sentences that we use a lot, and we want to keep growing.
He's Juan Carlos Aboros, and what a year it was for Gotham FC, the NWSL champions. They got goals from Lynn Williams, Esther Gonzalez Rodriguez, 2 assists from Mitch Purse. They plowed through North Carolina, Portland, and OL Reign was a team they defeated in the final. It's a remarkable run. All right, you're in my home state of New Jersey now, and I know you were here in Houston. It was pretty hot here, as you know. All right, so what do you think of the great state, the Garden State of New Jersey, Juan? Living there, playing there, coaching there, all those things.
Listen, I think I've lived in America actually in 3 states already. I lived in California some years ago. I lived in Houston. I live in New Jersey. I think one thing that is always for me important is the people. I think the people in this country is special, and in New Jersey they are too. I think here I got a little baby, so he loves the countryside, going to the farms. It's a very enjoyable little towns around where we live, and we also have the big city of New York around the corner. So it's a very, very nice place to live. So it was Houston, a part of my heart, I always say, is there because it was my home, our home as a family. And And we are happy in New Jersey, but it's a great country. You know, America is a country that welcomes people with open arms and with a lot of different cultures that make it one of the best countries in the world to live. So I'm very happy that we have been able to build a family, to grow a family here, you know, in New Jersey at the moment.
Well, I think the NWSL has a huge asset in you, because I know on the other side of it how badly you want to help grow the women's game and continue to push it forward in whatever market you're in. I got that sense when you were here in Houston. The last one before I let you go, you know, is there an area of the NWSL? Let's say I made you the commissioner, Juan. What would be the first thing that maybe you would do? You can't say expand the salary cap, but you know, what would be, you know, something really important, I think, in your mind right now that the league might want to adopt or accelerate?
I think maybe finding ways to make the global vision of the league, you know, that the rest of the world find ways to get the rest of the globe to, or the world to look at this league, because it's very special. There is a lot of talent. Yeah, we can bring more talent, but you need to find ways to make it visible, no visibility in the game. I like to call it in the game more than in the women's game, because that's when I think equality will be 100% there. But I think finding ways to make it reachable for every person in the planet, and that would be something that I would say will be the focus, because that's when everyone will know how good this league is. No?
Juan, listen, thank you very much. I know you're flying out to Spain. Have a great trip back to your country, and thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the NWSL title and being named the Coach of the Year.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to see family and friends back home after a very, very unbelievable year here in New Jersey. You know?
Likewise. Have great holidays, Juan. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. That wraps it up here tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. There are presenting sponsors. Download the podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google. You can go to ESPN975.com as well. Plus, don't forget to get over to our Soccer Matters channel on YouTube. And until next week, remember, I'm Glenn Davis, and Soccer Matters.